The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com. You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Feeding the Future on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Oriane Costantino, and Feeding the Future is a relatively new show, and we're here to talk about feeding kids better, feeding our future, in other words, a little bit smarter, and all of the people out there that are trying to help us do that. On today's show, we are going to talk about a few different topics. We're going to start out talking about introducing a new ingredient to a small person or a big person if they've never tried that ingredient, but just some techniques and some tips on doing that. And we're going to have a fabulous guest today, Lisa Soriano of, she's the founder and the owner of Veggiecation, which is a nutrition curriculum. Sorry, I wanted to get it right because I know all of those words. Each one of those words is extremely important. It is a curriculum-based nutrition education program. And I say that each of those words is important because I know that that is what separates it from other programs out there and makes it extra successful in schools and in homes. So I'd like to say welcome, Lisa.
Welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Thank you for coming out on this beautiful day. And with Lisa, we're going to talk about the program that she created, Veggiecation, and we're going to also then talk about her role in the New York Coalition for Healthy School Food and some of the things that they have been doing around the city lately. There's some really good news going on. Yeah. So first off, we're going to talk about introducing a new ingredient to a person who's never had that ingredient before. I'm like, keep hesitating to say young person because who knows? So I have a kid at home. She's 2 and change. And she's my guinea pig. She's my experimental partner. And she's a great eater. But every once in a while, I come across an ingredient and I say to myself, okay, let's like reinforce this. Let's like introduce this and so that she knows what she's having and she knows what it looks like. She can recognize it when she sees it. And I think that those are the kinds of lessons that are very lasting. So we went for zucchini and while I'm cooking the food, I'm letting her hold it. I figure to myself, what's the worst she could do? Take a bite out of it, break it, which she does. She will readily eat raw vegetables, which I think is awesome. And then I explained to her, like, you could totally eat it now, but it's going to taste really different when it's cooked. It's going to taste better when it's cooked. We're going to put cheese on it. We're going to put salt and pepper and olive oil. And these are all words that she knows and things that she understands and even techniques that I let her get involved in. So she did. She held it while I prepared a few other things, while I prepared the sheet pan. I cut it up. I let her taste it. She sprinkles salt, which, note, when you're letting kids work with salt, make sure you wipe off their little fingers quickly before they get in the mouth or else they get straight salt. So she watches me put it in the oven or put it on the stove or whatever it is, and I feel like it's really familiarizing her with the process. But then there comes a point when you want to get it into the kid's mouth. And I feel like Lisa has some really great techniques that she has developed with Veggiecation. And I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about the 2-bite rule.
Sure. Well, first of all, I think what you're doing is great with your daughter, just getting her involved, getting her touching the raw produce and getting familiar with it so she can recognize it later on in life and in the grocery store when one day, probably sooner than you think, she's going to be shopping on her own. But yeah, the two-bite rule is something that my father taught me. And my father's a chef, classically trained chef, and which is where I really got my passion for cooking and for cooking for children. And he, particularly on Sundays, was his day to cook and experiment in the kitchen. So as part of our education classes, I always tell our students this, particularly when I see there's a little bit of resistance in the eyes about a new ingredient or a new recipe that we've done. I tell them, you know, my daddy's a chef, and he always told me that, you know, sometimes he'd make something new, and I would be really nervous about it because I didn't know if I was going to like it. But he would tell me, Lisa, I want you to try this two times, because that first time that you try something new, you're feeling really nervous and you're thinking, I'm not going to like this. I'm not going to like this. And you don't really taste it. That second time that you try it, you actually get to taste it. You're over your fear a little bit and you get to make up your mind whether you like it or not. And if you like it, that's great. You've had a new experience, and that's the most important thing in life. And if you don't like it, that's okay, because not everybody likes everything. But you've had that new experience and you've learned something new.
I forgot to mention that the recipe that we tried was from your website. It was the zucchini bake.
Yes.
So it was
zucchini,
great recipe.
And tomato parmesan bake, right?
Yeah. So total winner, because I feel like the unfamiliar ingredient mixed with familiar ingredient is very helpful to the success rate.
Yes, definitely.
I know that you have a chef that you employ who creates the recipes for you.
Yes, I've had the advantage of working. My dad has been an amazing support of the program and helped me develop a lot of the recipes. And then a chef that's worked with him and his food service company for years, JC Food. Her name is Nancy Burgos Jackson. She's a chef. She's a mother of two adorable 5-year-old twin girls. So she really used them to help as our guinea pigs for the education program. And there are education girls. And she helped me create all these amazing recipes that kids really respond to and are really easy to make, very, very delicious and also really affordable.
Is that what are some of the other criteria that the vegetation recipes might follow?
We need to be very allergen sensitive. We're predominantly working with children, so we don't even touch nuts. I mean, nuts are a wonderful nutritional ingredient. However, children have so many allergies to them, and it's such a sensitivity issue that we really don't touch that. And then anything that we do can also be made gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free. You know, we want to make sure that we have those abilities. And then also, someone once said to me, your recipes are very culturally relevant. We wanted to really span all different flavor profiles, because another thing my father had taught me was that food is love. And to take someone's love away from them is the worst thing. So when you're trying to teach people to eat better, what I wanted to do is have any culture be able to identify with our recipes, the seasonings, things that are already in their cabinet, and just a healthier way to make those traditional cultural recipes.
And I feel like they're all very streamlined, since you are marketing them towards kids.
Yes.
You know, the ease of them and the...
Simplicity is so important when you're cooking with kids, to be able to get them involved with it. And then also, just in our ridiculously fast-paced lives, we need to be able to whip something up, and it has to be, you know, 15 minutes. It needs to be quick.
This particular recipe was super quick, and it baked up delicious. We were, like, wishing that it was, like, a pizza topping.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. It's a really good one.
So I feel like we're getting into vegetation a little bit before we're actually telling people exactly what it's all about.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, Lisa will tell us more about vegetation and all of the... where we can access all of the information online.
Sure. Sounds good.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Feeding the Future on heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Penny by Snowmine on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Yeah.
Today's program was brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run digital and offset print house that brings together eco-friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Using environmentally responsible papers, non-toxic inks, and wind power, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and mindful sustainability. Rolling Press offers advice on reducing paper waste and energy consumption, helping you save money and minimize your carbon footprint. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Feeding the Future on Heritage Radio Network. Find us on the web, heritageradionetwork.org, and check out the archives if you can't be here with us live. You can also download podcasts from iTunes and Stitcher. I am Oriane Costantino, your host. You are listening to Feeding the Future, and we are here today with a guest, Lisa Soriano, the founder and creator of Veducation, which is a hands-on education resource. It introduces children in the schools or in homes to vegetables and the many benefits of eating them, which is crucial. So important right now. Lisa, what led you to developing this curriculum?
Sure. Well, I mentioned earlier that my dad's a chef and he has a food service company, which is private school food service. And he started started in the Upper East Side of Manhattan in the very early 80s. So I grew up in that business, and I was really interested in nutrition and fitness when I was graduating with my bachelor's degree in business administration. I was also teaching yoga and personal training and doing that kind of fitness work. And he said, you know, my business is growing. Can you come work with me and sort of be our health advocate? So I started to do that, and I realized that I was trying to market and sell vegetables to children and other healthy whole foods, beans, herbs, grains, without any marketing materials. And that was difficult and unfair in my eyes. And then I realized I needed the educational support from the schools. And I was unable to get that from the established curriculums that were already out there because a lot of teachers, administrators said to me, nutrition's a very important topic and we support you, but we don't have time. We don't have time for that. We have math and literacy and science that we have to teach. We have standards. We have, you know, exams. So we just don't have time to do that. So what I started to do, I spoke with a friend of mine who was a public school teacher in New York City, elementary ed, and I said to him, you know, what would be helpful for you? How could you start talking about vegetables in class? And he said, you know, if I had lesson suggestions and then supporting materials with those, that would be really helpful. So that's where the Veducation program started. I wanted a way to market. I wanted a marketing strategy, a promotional strategy for vegetables and beans. And then we came up with these lesson suggestions so that teachers could pop them into an established curriculum. And they have these really cute supporting academic materials with all of our Veducation characters. So we're depending on cartoon marketing, which has proven effective with children and their acceptance of food and actually their reporting on how they like things and how they taste. If there's a cartoon associated with it, children will say that they like it better 9 times out of 10.
And so what you offer are entire packages with the recipes, the equipment lists, the lessons, and the posters.
Yes.
So that it's like reinforced around the classroom.
Posters are our big selling point. We do the who, what, when, where, and why. We show how the vegetable is growing with our cartoon vegetable illustration. And we also talk about the why. The why is really the most important marketing piece. What we do is we focus on – nobody really cares. Even adults don't care about folate. They don't care for the word folate. They don't – it's too abstract. Nobody cares. But they do care that it's going to help you think faster and be more alert and help you remember things. So these are the ways that we really take that marketing messaging. We talk about beauty foods and things like vitamin C, making our skin and our hair be prettier. Those kinds of things are very effective for people, and they're really – the most true when it comes to whole foods for vegetables and things like that.
And the packages are then purchased by the schools.
Yes.
And so what's been the growth there? Like, has it started in the Northeast and has it...
It started in the private schools that I was working in, and I was offering the program to them as, you know, we were piloting it in several of these schools. And then once I got online, it was unbelievable. It just, we're now in 30 states and Canada have picked up our program. Different schools have been using it. and we have a lot of resources online, so they're reproducible. The program is really affordable for schools, and they can bring this whole marketing and educational program in to help support any healthy changes that they're making in their cafeteria or otherwise.
Which I think might be a big sticking point when budgeting is happening. Like, yes. They might be worried that they can't find the money to put something like this in the school
exactly. And
integrate this into their curriculum. So how do you keep the costs down?
We keep the costs down. What we do is we have an online members-only site. So schools that buy into our program can produce and reproduce whatever they need on their own. So if it's a school that has 200 kids, then they only need to make 200 copies. There was no point in us printing and sending those out. Schools have printing, you know, and copying capabilities. So we wanted schools, whether they had 200 kids or 5,000 kids, to be able to make their own documents. So there's recipes, nutrition tips, little activities and games that sneak nutrition education into those.
And so the teachers are finding it easy to use, not looking at it as like another big chore.
Exactly. It's not something else. And usually it's a teacher that really has a passion for health and wellness that wants to bring it into their classroom, so they find a way that they can do that and still accomplish what they need to academically.
And as you are building this program, I love this quote from you, I think, from one of our conversations. You were like, baby steps are not in my vocabulary. Which I think is clear when we see all the facets of the business that you're creating. But while you were in the thick of it, what was like a little story that sort of made you know that this project was going to have legs on it?
Like, sure. I only started this 3.5 years ago, and it has been a whirlwind, 3.5 years. And I think it was maybe year one that I met Dr. Oz, and he was giving a talk at a school that I was working in, and someone asked me to introduce me to him. And I had an opportunity to give him a quick elevator speech, 3 minutes, and handed my packet of information. And he seemed interested, but you never know with someone like that. Exactly. We're surrounded by about 30 people as I was trying to give this conversation to him. And about 2 hours later, I got a personal email from Dr. Oz stating that he loved what I was doing and was really interested and wanted us to work with his organization, Health Corps. I almost fell off my chair. I was so excited, dancing around my office. And that really, you know, solidified for me that I was doing something. And just the reaction that I would get from parents when they would see how their kids were responding to the foods that we gave them. And then over the past 2 years, we've been developing a great relationship with Whole Foods Market. And they've been really supportive and passionate about educating kids on how to cook well, incorporating vegetables into their diet in a really significant way.
And I feel like maybe you're inspired. Is it not the artist? The artist has done some work for Whole Foods, who then does the vegetation.
Mm-hmm. My illustrator, Lauren Roth, was a sign maker for Whole Foods Market. And so she had sort of just mentioned offhand to one of the marketing executives in one of the markets here in New York what we were doing together. And that really started our partnership and brought about our Healthy Kids Cooking classes and our partnership with Whole Foods Market.
So I feel like it's a nice... not too many seams in putting those two together, because it's like they work very much hand in hand.
It's
visually,
made sense. Really made sense.
And conceptually. And so we were talking a little bit about the two right rule, which I know is one of the critical points of success in the vegetation program. And then we didn't get to talk about like how you let the kids react and you use their opinion, or you treat it very validly.
Yes.
So
that was something I got when I was first piloting the program. We weren't hands-on cooking with kids yet. We were doing tastings since I had a lot of control through private school food service in the kitchen, and I was able to work with the chefs directly, we were doing tastings. And I found that if I got the kids to vote, that sort of some of those more resistant tasters would cross over if we said, you know, I really want your opinion on this. We're thinking about putting on the menu, and, you know, I want to know what you think. To empower kids like that is really important. So now that we're actually getting kids hands-on, empowers them even further because this becomes their recipe. And at the end of the class, we always do a show of thumbs. And it's, you know, thumb up if you like it, thumb in the middle if you're kind of sort of not decided yet, thumb down if you don't like it. It's okay. Not everybody likes everything. And then, of course, we get into our two thumbs up, two thumbs way up. It's always a lot of fun. And I'm proud to say we get a lot of two thumbs way up on our recipes. And just giving them the voice because children they're usually told what to do. So to be able to give their opinion is something that's very exciting for them.
And then to go and tell the story to their parents and then spread it around.
I've gotten a lot of very nice emails about that.
That's so great. So we're going to take another quick break and be back with Lisa Soriano of Veducation and talk a little bit about her work with the New York Coalition for Healthy School Food and talk a little bit more about what they're doing with Whole Foods. So please stay tuned to Feeding the Future on Heritage Radio Network.
This one's called Let Me In by Snow Mine on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Feeding the Future on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Oriane Costantino, and we're here with Feeding the Future to talk about giving children a well-rounded approach to health, nutrition, and food in general, and all of the people that are out there with resources to help us do that. And we have one of those people with us here today. It's Lisa Soriano, the founder and creator, president of Veducation, which is a curriculum-based nutrition education program. And it's available online and also in Whole Foods. You guys are doing some in the Northeast region, is
yes.
that correct?
We started our partnership and then started on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and we quickly expanded to 23 markets, offering a free healthy kids cooking class once a month in each of the markets.
It's free. Did you hear that?
It is free, yes. And you can find it on your local Whole Foods calendar, on our website. We list specifically our Whole Foods classes because that just grew so quickly. And what we do is we do two recipes, two unique recipes that are seasonal. Every month it's different. And kids get the opportunity to be hands-on, and they cook every step of the way. They do absolutely everything with us. And we teach them how to make this recipe. And parents either can stand around and usually learn also how to make the recipe, or they can be free to go do their shopping and then come back and try what we made.
Oh, awesome. What are the age groups that you guys are offering this to?
Because it's a free public class, it's been really varied. I've had really, really little ones in a stroller where we get them doing something up to middle school, high school. And what's nice is it just sort of becomes a true community activity. And you get this peer mentoring when you have an older student and a younger child that they sort of start to look up to, the older student and learn from them. And it really is a very sweet moment.
Oh, that's very interesting. And are there plans with Whole Foods to expand to more
locations?
Yes,
we've been talking to their global office, and we're speaking with several of their regions around the country and doing an expansion to be training and bring our program to more Whole Foods nationally.
And also, I know that you offer another kit, like an additional kit to your school kit and to your classes that is for use at home.
Yes, we have an at-home package, and just really simple to bring Veducation right into your home if it's not in your area or it's not in your school, but you really want to Veducate at home. We have our family recipe book, our activity book with games and activities for kids, our stickers that can, you know, reinforce them. It's a, you know, great show to sign of reward to have our I Tried It sticker when you try something new. So parents can find that on our website, education.com.
And that's available for purchase.
Yes.
Great. Awesome. We also, you're also, among your many roles, you work with the New York Coalition for Healthy School Food. What is your role there?
Sure. Well, Education started as the educational partner. The New York Coalition for Healthy School Food, it brings plant-based entrees onto the New York City school menus, and also has menus, recipes, food service-sized recipes designed for schools, and any school can use those and find them for free on healthyschoollunch.org. I'm sorry, healthyschoolfood.org. And so we came on as their educational partner at first, and that's where we got our bean characters from to help promote the plant-based entrees. And then my role developed into becoming the co-chair of the board of directors for the New York Coalition for Healthy School Food. And I've worked very closely with the executive director, Amy Hamlin, and we've done several different initiatives in terms of curriculum development, bringing education and healthy kids cooking classes into schools. And then most recently, we announced a project we've been working on for 3 years, which has had some great success, the first vegetarian school in New York City, and we believe in the nation. Which has been really exciting, PS 244 in Flushing, Queens.
My hometown.
Must be proud of them.
I am proud of them. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so what? How is that going to influence other schools? Or like, as do you feel like?
We've found that there's been a wonderful response to it. There was the school itself is called the Active Learning School, and it was founded on principles of having a really, truly healthy school environment. You walk through that school and all of the projects are based around healthy living, fitness, eating well, mental health, all of the things that it takes to be a well person. And that truly seeps into every single avenue of the academic world, of the social world in the school. So it was a perfect place. And the principal, Bob Groff, was really on board. And this is what he wanted his school to be about. So we started with, I believe, 2 plant-based days, then 3 plant-based days, then 4 plant-based days, until we finally said, you know what, let's do this. Let's make it a vegetarian school, and it has been really successful. The Department of Ed, Office of School Food in New York City, has been incredibly supportive. They have done so much work to bring in and source products that great plant-based protein products that we can really be proud of and feel good about serving children, like organic non-GMO tofu. It's a lot of bean-based recipes also. So everything meets the USDA regulations for school lunch, and the protein content is right where it needs to be. Lots of fiber, no cholesterol, so they're really getting a lot of benefits from these recipes.
And what do the kids think?
The kids love it. It's amazing when you go there, you know, they will stop you and tell you what they had for lunch. They have a beautiful salad bar. They're really proud of it. And then they will tell you that they'll go home and tell their parents what they had and encourage their families to have healthier choices for themselves.
They're creating that vocabulary, which is so important.
Yes.
Wow, that's excellent.
And I'm hoping that, you know, schools can see the success that we had at 244. It's possible, you know, even if your school doesn't want to go 100% vegetarian, New York City has options for schools to have healthier lunch menus, alternative ideas for that. And other schools around the country can do this. It is successful if the educational piece is behind it and the administration is supportive. It can work.
And I also think that the progression is also very helpful, 2 days, 4 days, and then total, because then it's not unfamiliar to the kids, and they actually can build up excitement about it, which is
true.
The important part.
It can't happen without education. It has there that piece of it absolutely has to be there.
And that's your job.
Yeah, that's what I do.
One of them. And so I know that you have some really interesting plans for expanding education and, well, I like to say, creating your army.
Yeah.
Will you tell us about your new certification program?
We're so excited about this. We're going to be doing a small launch this summer and then a full launch in September. I have been contacted by so many passionate people, registered dietitians, nutritionists, health coaches, chefs around the country, Canada, who really want to bring this programming, use our structure, use our recipes and what we've done here, and bring it to their local community. So what we've decided to do is to create a certification program where we train people online to be able to use our methods and our tools, and we're going to give people everything that they need, their demo kit, their cooking kit, all of the equipment that they'll need, a vegetation apron, posters, all the tools that they need, all the tangible tools, plus the skills. And then people are also going to have the option of having their own place on our website, their own page with their picture, their profile, their region, their contact information, their own blog. And people will be able to go onto our website and find a veducator in their area. That's what we call our education instructors. And be able to connect with them directly. And what I really wanted to do was give people the entrepreneurial model that I've been hammering out tirelessly over the past 3.5 years, and let them take that model and bring it into their community.
That's a wonderful service. Because you're only so many people. And I know that you're based out of this area, so to know that your hard work is going to be able to continue to flourish far and wide.
Yeah, that was really the hope. I've always wanted to educate the nation. That was my original goal, so I'm really hoping this will help us do that.
So to access all of this information, it's VEGGIECATION, vegication.com. We're going to put the recipe for the zucchini bake up on the show page at heritageradionetwork.org, and there you will also be prompted to check out Lisa's site and all of her incredible materials. So I want to say thank you so much for being here
today.
Thanks
so much for having me. It's always been a pleasure.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Feeding the Future on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Oriane Cosentino, your host. You can find us at heritageradionetwork.org. You can find the archives there, and you can download podcasts from iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.